Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. Thanks for listening. The Inner Game is about how we nurture and attend to our mind, body, spirit, health, and how that allows us to play a bigger game and make a bigger contribution in the areas of purpose that call to us. And these are conversations with people who are committed to making an evolutionary difference with their lives from a place of balance and love and service. Today, I'm welcoming Larry Gottlieb to the show. Larry is one of those amazing Renaissance people. He graduated from MIT. He has degrees in physics and X-ray astronomy. But after protesting the Vietnam War and a profound spiritual experience in 1974, he landed in Aspen and began a long career as a singer-songwriter. Now author of two books on how our consciousness is evolving, his latest of which is called Hoodwinked, Uncovering Our Fundamental Superstitions. Thanks so much for being here, Larry.
Well, thank you for having me.
You began this path of sort of an astrophysicist, but you have shared with me that you started meditating in 1973 after meeting an Indian guru and became aware that there was an unembodied consciousness beyond what you'd previously known or even considered. Can you share a little bit about, you know, that starting on that path of self-awareness and how you started to really change how you experience the world?
Sure. Well, there were several things that happened in my life that brought to me the beginnings of an awareness that there was more to life than I had previously thought. Probably the most powerful one was an experience I had one day driving a car that I had recently purchased, which got terrible gas mileage, and I didn't have a credit card or a cell phone, and I was beginning to feel like I didn't have enough money to get home. And I voiced my fears out loud in the car as I'm driving along, and I heard a very clear disembodied voice or unembodied voice that told me that all was well and they would get me home. It spoke in the plural. And in that moment, I became aware that there is such a thing as unembodied consciousness. And that led me to an understanding after a bit more study that consciousness itself is unembodied and sometimes chooses to be embodied, but that the body is not a container for consciousness. It's rather the other way around.
So do we sort of dissolve back into that consciousness when we die?
Or is that's my understanding. I haven't been there yet.
None of us really knows for sure.
With this human awareness that I consider myself to have at the moment, I haven't been there yet. But that's my understanding, that we choose to come forth into the world, into a time-space reality, and have for the purpose of having experience, and then we choose to leave and go back to unembodied consciousness and then come forth to do it again.
I've been wanting to ask you this, you know, because of your kind of astrophysicist background. You know, isn't it ironic that science is proving what religious and indigenous wisdom traditions have always described? The unified oneness of a loving universe. You know, I would love your take on that.
Yeah, I think you used the word ironic just now. It's ironic perhaps from a human perspective,
right?
But there is universal truth. I mean, what we humans call truth is usually a very subjective thing, but there is universal truth, and we get glimpses of it, and sometimes we get more than a glimpse. Sometimes we get some profound understanding or experience of it. So I don't know that it's ironic. It's just that wherever you happen to be on your life's journey, there's always the possibility of opening yourself up to this universal oneness, which is loving and caring and wants us to experience life to the fullest.
Yeah, I think when, and we're always sort of choosing the context for our lives, or choosing what we, you know, the foundations of our beliefs and things. So choosing a loving universe that has my back and is only interested in my highest and best, you know, that I've found allows me to live a much more creative and generative life, because I feel supported and sort of in the flow of that co-creative relationship. And I feel like, you know, I think I used irony because I feel like science in some of its, you know, hubris has separated us from that co-creative relationship with the universe in a way. You know, there's sort of this separate thing that can measure and describe things, and it's all sort of the cause and effect Newtonian sort of way of understanding how we, you know, exist as human beings. And it drops out, you know, so much of the magic of being human, and the wonder and the awe of the universe. I don't know what you feel about that, or, you know, that relationship that has kind of caused that separation.
You know, I agree with what you said, but I would say that it's not science that does that. It's scientists
right.
that do that, you know, because scientists are human. And the premise of my book, Gwen, is that my latest book, Hoodwinked, is that we live in an ocean like a fish. We live in an ocean of belief that we've never been outside of, and consequently everything we've ever looked at has been through that ocean, which functions as a filter, and it determines what we're able to think and what thoughts are allowed for us to think. So our science is always, for a human being, science is always filtered through that belief system. And we scientists, who are, again, all human, perceive what we perceive through those filters. The science, however, I think if one can learn to look directly at the science with the understanding that you're looking at it through the filter of your beliefs, leads us pretty unerringly towards an understanding of that loving oneness that you spoke of. The prime example for me is quantum physics. You know, the words quantum physics, that can be scary to people. And certainly when you see a blackboard full of chalk marks with equations and all that, it can be scary and dumbfounding and all that. But I think that quantum mechanics, which I studied at length, shows really clearly that there is no such thing as an objective world out there that's there whether or not there's anybody around to perceive it. In other words, human beings bring their world into existence through perception. And the world that a human being perceives reflects back to that human the story they tell about who they are and about how life works. And so if you can put aside, first of all, recognize and then put aside your misunderstandings and your, frankly, your superstitions about what a human being is and how life really works, you can see the science leading you towards an understanding of loving oneness.
And that feels like the most, both comforting, but also daunting, because it gives us this sort of super agency where all of our actions, all of our thoughts, all of our feelings, we now realize are generating an influence on everything around us, on the universe itself, on the unified field. So it vests us with this amazing agency. But also that's exciting because, you know, we have the ability to sort of shape shift what we perceive. Is that true? Is that what you feel like?
Yeah, in fact, we do it all the time.
Right.
You know, we're doing it constantly, but we are living under a superstition that the world is the way it is, and the conditions that we encounter and the experiences that we have are the way they are, no matter what we say about them. Mm. And I see that as a superstition. What you say about your life is reflected in the circumstances and the experiences that you have. And when you see that, you realize that you have enormous power over your life conditions and over your circumstances. And this is not confusing power with force. Force is when you think or say that you have power over somebody or something else. This is the power to live an authentic life, a joyful life, in accordance with your heart's desires. That power, I think, is revealed as you recognize, uncover your misunderstandings, your superstitions about what a human being is and about how life really works.
Well, let's dig into that a little more in just a moment. For those just joining, this is Gwen Garcelon, and you're listening to The Inner Game on KDNK. I'm talking with Larry Gottlieb about his new book, Hoodwinked, that introduces a deeper context for understanding how we are intricately connected and empowered in our lives. You know, just this morning I was reading a quote from Nikola Tesla, and he said, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And what we now know, what we now, you know, our amazing science can measure, is that the frequency of love is about 528 megahertz. And that's just sort of amazing that we can, just through the feeling of love, raise our vibration so profoundly. Because, you know, even flow state, you know, what athletes, you know, use is, you know, less than 10 megahertz, but the frequency of love is 528. That's incredible. Maybe, you know, share with us a little bit of your understanding of that.
Well, I don't know much about specific frequencies or higher frequencies, but I think the television metaphor is a useful one for the world that you perceive. You know, when you sit down with your remote control and you press the button that says guide, you see that there are multiple channels that you could tune into. And a human being has multiple channels that we human beings have multiple channels that we can tune into. And they all kind of are real similar. They all kind of look the same, except the experience varies. And so I can tune in whatever world I wake up to in the morning, and it reflects my emotional state of being. If I then work on my emotional state of being through meditation, through self-speak, through affirmation, through reading or whatever, and I can clarify my emotional state and allow it to rise like you can allow a cork that you've been holding under the surface of the water to rise simply by letting go of it, then the world still looks pretty much the same, except it feels better to be in it.
Mm. Yes.
So that's my understanding of that. That sort of encapsulates my understanding of how frequency works. You know, there are different frequencies, and when you tune into a different frequency, which you do by managing the story you're telling about yourself, which affects your emotions, then the world can show up differently. And one of the sayings that I like to toy with is that when you allow your emotional state to rise, when you allow your frequency to rise, then you just encounter somebody that otherwise might have left 30 seconds before you got there. No, things are rearranged so that you do encounter them and you have a joyful experience, or you just make the light that you otherwise might have missed when you're driving your car or something like that. These are very subtle changes, but they change the experience of your circumstances.
Right. And you've said, and this is something I'm sure many, you know, mindfulness practitioners, you know, are playing with all the time, is that our feelings can be a guide. And so if we're telling ourselves a story about whatever may be happening in the moment, and it feels heavy or fearful, then that's likely a measurement for us that we are in a lower frequency, and there's always the possibility open to us to choose a story or a way of approaching whatever may be happening in the moment that has us feel much better. And that is likely the harbinger of a higher frequency.
Absolutely. We have an internal guidance system. And most human beings walk around the planet not realizing we have that internal guidance system. Your feelings, your emotions are your guidance as to whether you're acting in accordance with the best and highest good for all people around you and all people and the planet. The better you feel, the more in harmony you are, the more in alignment you are with that best and highest good. So your feelings, your emotions serve as an internal guidance system. When you're off course, you can feel it. And then your mind, your ego, is going to want to make up a story about why you're feeling off. And that story usually involves blaming somebody or something else. And that's a complete misinterpretation. Or I could better say it as it's missing the point.
And what about, I'm imagining those folks listening who are saying, well, if I have a donut, I'll feel better. Or if I have, you know, three beers, I'll feel better. Is that feeling better different than the kind of feeling better you're talking about?
It is, because it doesn't last and it's not satisfying. And everybody knows that.
Right.
I mean, I've always known that the high that I get from eating sugar or whatever other thing I'm doing to feel better isn't substantial. It isn't satisfying. It's not real.
Right.
Whereas the feeling that I get from being able to assist somebody else or give somebody else something that I can give them that makes their life easier, that feeling of feeling better is substantial. It's satisfying.
Right.
And change, you know, basically to boil it down, changing your story so that your story about yourself and about your life has diminishing amounts of blame and increasing amounts of self-responsibility makes you feel better in a way that is satisfying. The issue is whether it's satisfying. You know, you can feel better and not be satisfied with that feeling better because it's transitory and you know deep down that it's just a high and it's going to go away.
And you'll always need more.
But discovering your own ability to live a joyful life and assist others in being aware that they can live joyful lives by recognizing their misunderstandings about how life works and finding their authentic selves, that's much more satisfying and leads to more of it. You know, it becomes self-increasing. Mm.
So how do we make that shift, which I believe is occurring, from, and you've said, from Homo sapien to Homo spiritus? Describe that Homo spiritus, and what are the qualities of that?
Well, I think what we're seeing in the world when we watch the news or listen to the news or just listen to one another's stories, I think what we're seeing is an evolutionary process. We've reached the end of what Homo sapiens, equipped with rationality and logic, we've reached the end of that line of evolution, kind of like the dinosaurs reached the end of their development of dominance and being the head honchos roaming the earth. And so along comes this asteroid that ultimately wipes out the dinosaurs and creates an opportunity for the rise of mammals. Our asteroid isn't quite as dramatic. Actually it is, but it comes in the form of climate change and our inability to stop getting ourselves into wars. And I'm not talking about the United States. I'm talking about the world.
Yeah.
The way we have been conducting ourselves as a species is leading to intolerable circumstances for many, if not most, human beings. And that is forcing us to evolve into a species of rational being that can actually find resonance with the best and highest good for all people and for the planet. And that version of human being represents an evolutionary shift that's being caused by our asteroid.
And how can we be catalysts for that evolution? Do you have any guidance there?
By being aware of it. Simply by being aware of it.
Yep.
You know, everybody knows that we live in fields. We live in a gravitational field. We live in the electromagnetic field that we call light. I mean, we're embedded in those fields, and we're also embedded in a field of consciousness that radiates. So when you're having an experience of joy and of self-knowledge, that radiates. It emanates outward like the ripples that you see when you drop a stone in a pond. And other people who are in that field, which is everybody, can feel that. And so simply by finding our own inner peace and our own inner joy, we are impacting the world. We're impacting everybody, and we're being part of this evolutionary shift. But you have to do the work. You have to learn to tell a story that allows you to be in touch with and in daily contact with what an authentic human being really is. Even if you're just starting out on that path, it doesn't matter where you are on that path, as long as your intention is to be more nearly who you really are. That radiates out and it affects everybody, and it contributes to that evolutionary shift. You and I are doing it right now.
That's right.
And everybody listening to us is doing it right now. It doesn't take any effort. It takes work, but not effort. It's not a struggle.
Because your highest and best will always call you forth. You know, it will always,
call
to
forth.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, what exactly.
What a beautiful way to end this. Thank you so much, Larry. If you're local, you can connect with Larry at a book signing of Hoodwinked on October 27th, 6:30 to 8 3rd Street Center in Carbondale, or his website, Larry Gottlieb, that's G-O-T-T-L-I-E-B, LarryGottlieb.com. And thank you all for listening today. If you have a question for Larry or me, you can join the Facebook page at The Inner Game. And we'd love to hear your feedback and ideas, and you can find out where to listen to past shows there as well. So until next time, keep choosing love and watch what happens in your life. Clouds are swift.